Welcome to the Cullen Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Cullen Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in. You're listening to the weekend edition of the Cullen Economics Report. I am Al Cullen. Appreciate you joining me. A couple of the segments of our show this week are going to deal with our President's State of the Union speech last Wednesday. I'm going to start out with Clyde Harrison. Clyde is the co-founder of the Rogers Raw Material Fund. Very, very interesting guy. Very outspoken politically, and I wanted to get his views initially on the President's speech. Mr. Harrison, I was disappointed. I took notes during the speech. I wrote down at the end the following. Even though the majority of us don't agree on some issues, our president says he's going to forge ahead on those issues anyway. That left me with a very bad taste in my mouth. What's your view?
My view at the end of the speech was more of the same. So
okay.
Inside the Beltway, as I've told you, it is not we the people, it's we the government.
Yeah.
And you're getting more of that than we had before, and I think that's bad. I'm a libertarian.
Yeah. Well, I actually am too, and I'm proud to say that. But, you know, I want to get your comments on a number of things that our president said yesterday. You know, number one, I saw a lot of platitudes in there, but I'm going to start out with something that's not necessarily a platitude. I want to talk about the criticism that he made of the Supreme Court. I noticed the reaction, the looks on the faces of the Supreme Court justices when our president said that. I thought it was inappropriate, and I thought there were some inaccuracies in there. What do you think?
It was totally out of place because the Constitution makes the Supreme Court an equal, a co-equal branch but separate of government and politics. So to even make a statement about anything they've said is absolutely against the Constitution.
Agree 100%. Let's talk about some platitudes. Early in the speech, he said, one of the things that we're going to do to fix our economy is we're going to double our exports. Didn't say how he was going to do that, but he said we're going to double our exports. Boy, that makes our trading partners really happy, doesn't it?
Well, if he'd have followed that up with, and we're going to do it by cutting 10% of the regulations that make no sense other than expense, every year for the next 10 years, I'd have stood up in my chair in my living room.
Yeah.
He didn't. So, no, there's no plan to do that. Without a plan, nothing happens.
Platitude number three, he talks about his medical plan being deficit neutral. That doesn't make sense.
The Congressional Budget Office, which he likes to rely on, has to work. They are required by law to work with the numbers given them. The numbers that were given them say they'll cut $500 million from Medicare in the first 10 years, and they'll collect taxes on it for the first 4 years without spending any money.
Yeah.
If you take it out 20 years, it's a $2 trillion debit. So, no, it's a joke. Like the $30 billion for small business is a joke when you've got a $1.3 trillion deficit planned this year, which means we'll beat that number, too.
Yeah.
This is all just more of the same and kill the currency and the bond market.
Well, let's take another issue. He said that his administration is doing all of their work openly. Okay, I have a question about that. Some deals were cut with a couple of the senators, specifically from, well, New Orleans as one example. I believe Nebraska was the other example. Huge, huge money was given to those states in exchange for their support of his medical plan. All right, here's my question. That was done openly? No, that wasn't done openly. That was an after-the-fact deal, behind-closed-doors meetings. Am I way off base here, Clyde?
No, that $300 million for Landau and the $500 million-plus for Nebraska was done in a closet. But that's not the real bad one. The real bad one was, cap-and-trade's not going to pass the Senate because it's so stupid. So I'll turn it over to the EPA by executive order. That's the one that's going to really cost money in the next 4 years.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, cap and trade is definitely not good. It's not good for small businesses. There's no question about that. He made another comment that I thought was interesting. Universities need to drop their fees. Let me be perfectly accurate. Universities need to lower their fees so education is more affordable. That's one that I don't buy either.
That's not going to happen.
Right. Yeah, it's not going to happen, and it just doesn't make a lot of sense. You know, it's the thing that bothers me, Clyde, is that...
He didn't say, oh, and by the way, we're taking all the unions out of the school system.
Right. Isn't that interesting? Well, you know, as I said at the outset of our conversation here, you know, his comment, or my view of the speech, even though the majority of us don't agree on some issues, our president's going to forge ahead. Anyway, you know, I have to tell you, we're on the road to socialism, Clyde.
Well, I disagree again, Al. We are in socialism. We went from creeping socialism for the last 40 years to racing socialism.
Yeah.
The only difference is the speed with which we're now running to socialism.
Got another question for you. How can our country economically possibly survive with these plans? I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm not the brightest light bulb in the string, but I don't see how economically, Clyde, we can survive. I really don't.
If we, the people, wake up, and it's going to be painful, I don't care how it's done, net disposable income in the United States is going down. But if we, the people, wake up and start shrinking government over the next 10 years, hold it in place and cut it some every year, we can get through this and our children will have the kind of future we have.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen. There's nothing but a shrinking United States, and the best is behind us, I'm sorry to say. And when it comes to individuals, there is nobody that believes individuals can accomplish anything they put their mind to. But when it comes to Washington, D.C., it is a disaster at this point.
You know, one of the examples that that President Obama gave last night that I thought I really had to scratch my head when I looked at it, but he was talking about climate reform, he was talking about clean energy, etc., and he gave a couple of examples. One of them was he talked about how by his administration's support of the clean energy industry, there was a company on the East Coast that added 1,000 jobs. And there was a company in California that added, I think it was a solar panel company in California, that added 1,200 jobs. We have lost millions of jobs recently. And he's talking about adding a total, just as an example, he's talking about adding a total of 2,200 jobs. Clyde, if people don't stop and think, and they think that that's a big deal, that's the problem with our country. Adding 2,200 jobs in an industry is not a big deal. Losing over a million jobs.
It's 3 million.
Yeah, well, I said over a million. I mean, that's a big deal. And we have got to make some changes. You know, Bob Moriarty, my buddy from 321 Gold, said, you know, you simply cannot reward failure. And that's what our government is doing right now. And that's exactly, to a very real extent, what I see the administration doing. They're rewarding failure. Clyde, there is no way that the United States of America would have ever gotten to the position that it is today if for 200 years we had rewarded failure. Closing comments, sir?
I have written that what the Obama plan was, and part of the Bush plan at the end of his policy,
yeah,
was to reward irresponsibility by punishing responsible. And it will never work. It has never worked in history. It's not going to work here.
The gal's going to be right back with David Morgan. Clyde, thank you so much.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin and Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Our economy is in great distress. The financial dominoes can fall at any time. It's time to stop hoping it doesn't happen and prepare just in case it does. You have auto and home insurance. Why wouldn't you have food insurance? Are you prepared to feed your family long term? Because it might take years to recover. As the adult, it's your responsibility to feed your family, especially during rough times. SurvivalistSeeds.com is offering a package that will give you a 3-acre heirloom vegetable garden anywhere. 50 heirloom varieties, 8,000 vegetable seeds, over 5 pounds of healthy food. Don't be fooled by marketing companies disguised as patriots. SurvivalistSeeds.com is owned by Big John Lipscomb, host of Don't Tread on Me radio show.
Originally, we the people have entrusted government to be the guardians of currency, to ensure purity, content, weights and measures of gold and silver coins citizens would use for commerce. This reinstalled confidence after the demise of the fiat continental system, wisdom being lost with time. The government we once entrusted to protect from counterfeit has colluded with private business, creating the largest fiat counterfeiting scheme our country ever experienced. This is not only a transfer of power to an institution that is not accountable to our elected government, but has also caused the dollar to lose more than 90 cents of its original value. Now foreign governments are trying to divest themselves from this once world reserve currency. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm offering a book that explains how the system works. Call me today at 800-686-2237. I will give you a silver dollar free just for purchasing the book. Call today at 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
Hello. At OfTheField.com, we strive to empower you with wild food preparedness. We get lots of amazing positive feedback, most of which we feature on OfTheField.com. Here's a small sample of all that people like you have to say about the wild food experience.
It's inspiring for many who are affected by the recent downturn of the economy.
I already knew a bit about foraging and edibles, but you take it to a whole new level.
A thousand thanks to you for all that great knowledge. It was empowering.
When I was in the Navy, I went through a couple of quick land survival classes.
Thank you for being an inspiration and for all the work that you do.
I really appreciate the depth and detail of the information.
Thank you so much.
Much love and respect to you from all of us here in the boonies.
Thanks again.
Knowledge is power, and that power brings peace.
Folks, thanks for letting us help you get back to basics. Read all of the testimonials at OfTheField.com. You can order online for you and your loved ones, or call 1-888-51-EAT-FREE to share in the secret.
This is an important message from HempUSA.org. For our listeners who are advancing in age, baby boomers, and to all who want to be healthy, we urge you to try our microplant powder and see the difference it makes in your life. Please visit HempUSA.org and read about microplant powder. It's easy to take, one heaping tablespoon in any liquid 3 times a day. Call 908-691-2608 or visit HempUSA.org. Please inform your family, friends, and relatives about this incredible product. It can change your life if you give it a chance. So try microplant powder today. Call 908-691-2608. In this toxic world, microplant powder can help now in cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, viruses, fungus, and bacteria. Please download our catalog at hempusa.org today.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio? Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. You are listening to the weekend edition of the Corlin Economics Report, the two-hour version that is heard on all of these Genesis radio stations. Great to have you with us. I am chatting right now with David Morgan. David's an interesting guy. He's been a regular guest on the program for quite some time now. He has a website called thesilverinvestor.com. David provides really, really good information to his subscribers, and also he has some services that are complimentary. David, thanks for joining me. I appreciate it.
It's great to be with you, Al.
Okay, we have an interesting situation in the precious metals markets right now. We have a correction going on. We are, as of this recording anyway, we're down a bit, both in the gold market and the silver market. I think this is a normal correction. We've been chatting about this on the show now for a couple of weeks since this whole thing started. What's your take on it, David?
Well, for the first, 10, 11 years in the business, I've actually given out the, timing cues to my basic service for free, and I said I'd do that for... I never said how long. It turned into actually a lot longer than I expected, but I have no problem with that. And I've now started an alert service and an alert system, and we sent out our first alert on the 19th. And I went in and showed using SLV as a proxy for the silver price, because it's actually easy to work with on the charting service that I have, where we were. I showed the breakdown. I told everyone it was a short term. I told them, how I look at the market specifically, all the indicators. I gave them my three-day rule, which I've, been consistent about forever. And the 21st, of course, confirmed the fact that we were in a short-term sell signal. Mm-hmm. Now, that doesn't mean that you're supposed to short the market. I would never short the metals. I don't think that's prudent. But, to each their own. I mean, they want my short-term call. On an intermediate-term basis, I'm with you, Al, all the way. On the intermediate term, we are just consolidating. We're not at a sell signal yet. Could it go to sell signal? Certainly it could. I don't know. Markets can surprise all of us. I don't think we will. My big line in the sand, if you will, is around the $1,000 level. That's a huge psychological level for lots of reasons. And I don't think we're going to get under $1,000 gold this year, but we could. But if we do, of course, I'll address it at the time. But right now, I think we're in the normal boundaries of an intermediate-term correction. I don't think it's going to last a whole lot longer, and I am looking for higher prices in the first quarter of 2010 still.
How are you looking at?
Well, not significantly higher. We already hit 1,200 on gold, so I'm looking for the 1,250, 1,300 level approximately. You got to remember, for the 1,180 today as we're doing your show, then... that's a pretty good move, percentage-wise, in, a couple short months. So that's about all I expect.
You know, I think that the reason behind the reasoning behind my thoughts really don't really have a lot to do necessarily with speculation in the precious metals markets, David, but they have everything to do with where our economy in the United States is going. And, our president had a mandate when he took over. He said, we're going to make a change here. We're going to do things differently. Well, heretofore, we're over a year now. No changes have occurred whatsoever in my mind other than just a whole bunch of platitudes, a whole bunch of words. I mean, we have a deficit that is at a record level right now, over $1.3 trillion. We have unemployment that is incredibly high, a little over 10%. We have an inflation coming on. I have to tell you, fundamentally, I don't like the way things are going, and I really believe, Dave, that people need to provide some insurance for themselves and their families, and the best way to do that is put a certain portion of your assets in the metals. I know that, I learned that from David Morgan. That's you, Years ago, you and I were talking about that, and my wife and I have taken your advice. That's exactly what we do now. We put roughly 10% of our portfolio, our investment portfolio, in gold and silver, specifically just in silver, because to us it makes sense. What are you telling your subscribers? I bet you're telling them the same thing.
Yeah, absolutely, Al. I haven't changed in my stripes in any way. Basically, I've just got a better service to provide for those that want the intermediate-term calls. But our basic philosophy is the same as it always has been. If you understand the economy, or even if you don't, but you're upset by it, you need the precious metals. You must have them. It's the only asset class that you must have for the following reason that we've gone through many times, but it bears repeating. The only assets that stand outside of the financial system.
Yep.
It's the only man left standing if everything else falls down. And let's take a look around. A lot of stuff has fallen down you never would expect to fall.
Right.
Lehman Brothers, Bear Stearns, we don't have to repeat everything, but
right.
No, it's getting more and more tenuous, to put it politely, than it's ever been in the financial history of the world, as far as I'm concerned. It's accelerating to the downside, not to the upside. We're not really seeing any changes, like you said. A lot of rhetoric, a lot of hot air, but no real change. We're promised real change. There's no real change. The only real change is it's probably accelerating rather than instead of getting better.
Kind of scary. Where do you think this thing playing out? I mean, do you think the trend is going to reverse itself? Do you think the actions are going to become more beneficial for the economy, or do you think we're just going to keep hearing the same old stuff?
I think we're going to hear the same old stuff. I study this stuff very, very hard, as you know, and of course, no one knows the future. But if you read the fourth turning, you look at a lot of history, basically what you got to focus on, and we haven't done that much, is the physical economy. Mm-hmm. We are not building new roads, schools, having innovative ideas. In fact, you know, I used to brag and I was proud to say that, you know, at least the U.S. is first in innovation. We're not even first in innovation anymore. Our graduating classes out of college, there are very few engineers and scientists relative to what other countries are producing. We are basically on the back burner and we're going down. We're living on our laurels. We're living off our fat. And that's unfortunate because it's kind of a metaphor for the whole American society, the way I see it. Now, I'm afraid that we're going to go further down, generally speaking. Certainly, there will be pockets of places that are doing well. That's always the case. And there will be people that invest properly that will probably preserve what they have. But as far as the general trend, no, it's going down further, in my view.
You know, I really, really hate to agree with you, but I think you're 100% right. I am amazed. I'm amazed that our leaders, and I'm going back a couple, three administrations right now, but I'm amazed that they have allowed us to get in the situation that we're in. I mean, to me, Dave, that just shows that they're in it for themselves. They're not in it for the country. Do you agree with me?
Oh, I think that's typical of the end of these great cycles. I mean, if you look at the Roman Empire, they started off as absolutely representing the people, and then at the fall of the Roman Empire, they were all about their own selfish interests. Yeah. And that's exactly what's playing out here in the U.S. of A. No, I agree with you, Al.
You know, it's so disappointing because when our president was elected last year and when he was inaugurated in January, I didn't vote for the man, but I really, really gave him nothing but positive comments on our show and even in, you know, in social events that I'm involved in, because I really, really believed that the man really wanted to make a difference when he was elected. And I'll tell you, so far, David, I have seen absolutely no difference. I'm seeing the international situation totally unchanged, the economic situation really getting worse, if anything else, the political situation in terms of the divisions, the polarity that's existing in our country are just, to me, absolutely terrifying, and we do need to change. David Morgan, thank you so much, my friend.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-dry guy, the best you can buy.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity
quality and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com. Or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Hi, this is Alex Jones. Did you know that the global elite are now storing non-hybrid seeds in secret storage vaults near the Arctic Circle? Did you know that in a real meltdown, non-hybrid seeds can become more valuable than silver or gold? It's true, seeds have outperformed even gold and silver before in this country, and it's possible that could even happen again. So our friends at Solutions from Science have put together the perfect mix of non-hybrid seeds. They call it a survival seed bank, and it can produce an endless supply of nutrient-dense food for you and your family. And here's the best part. These seeds have not been genetically modified in any way, and you actually get enough seeds to plant a full-acre crisis garden. So visit them today at survivalseedbank.com. That's survivalseedbank.com, or give them a call at 877-327-0365. That's 877-327-0365. Remember, in a real crisis, non-hybrid seeds are the ultimate barter item. This is Alex Jones for SurvivalSeedBank.com.
You're listening to GCN, Genesis Communication Radio Network.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. You're listening to the weekend edition of the Corlin Economics Report. I am Al Corlin. Appreciate you joining me. Pretty good show. David Morgan has some very, very interesting things to say about, you know, precious metals, the economy, and politics. I got a couple of my friends with me right now. These guys are personal friends, and we don't agree on everything, but we agree on an awful lot. I'm going to get their reaction to the president's speech, State of the Union speech on Wednesday. I'm chatting with Jay Taylor, who has Jay Taylor's Golden Technology Stocks, also does a great radio show, and Roger Wiegand, who I finally convinced to take up the game of golf again. Guys, thanks for joining me. I appreciate it.
Nice to be here, Al.
Okay, had some fairly negative comments from most of our guests on the president's speech. Clyde Harrison in the first segment, is pretty negative on the actions of the administration and the direction our country is going in. Going to chat in the second hour with Amber Dakar from Weiss Research. She had some very, very interesting things to say, coming from a young, very well-educated woman. And then Scott Wheeler, the executive director of the National Republican Trust, PAC, we'll have in the second hour also some very interesting things to say. But at this point, let's listen to Jay Taylor and Roger Wiegand. Jay, let's start with you. You like the way things are going in our country?
Well, no, of course I don't. I think because we've departed from the Constitution and, I think we're moving towards fascism, away from free market economics. We're moving away from personal responsibility and personal liberty. So, no, the short answer is I don't like the way things are going in our country.
Mr. Wiegand, what do you think?
Well, I agree with Jay. I think we've got a mess going right now, and the current administration is following chapter and verse exactly what Roosevelt did, which extended the Depression in the 1930s for years.
Mm-hmm.
You compare that, and a lot of people aren't aware of this, but in 1920, 21, the USA had another depression. And our measure in that one went down like 40 or 50%, but the people in Washington let it alone, and a year and a half later it got healed.
Got healed. Jay, what can we do to fix this? Well, number one, but before I ask you that, in your mind, what's the problem?
You know, I think it's people, Al. I think it's human nature. And I, on my own radio show, I had Robert Prechter on, and I asked Robert, I said, what would have happened if Nixon had never taken us off the gold standard in 1971? Do you think we would be in the same kind of fix we're in now? Because after all, it was with the removal of gold that allowed all this debt to pile up, all this irresponsible living on the part of individuals and nations. And Prechter's answer was, I think, interesting, but I think he's spot on when he said Nixon didn't have a choice. And the reason Nixon didn't have a choice is because the people wanted their cake and eat it too. They wanted to have something for nothing. It's human nature to want to have that. So what I think happens is, and this is sort of the work of Ian Gordon too in the Kondratiev cycle, is what happens is we go through these cycles in which we forget the lessons of our grandparents, and we think we can have our cake and eat it too. We think we can, we don't have to work for a living. We can enjoy life today without sacrificing and working for it. And then I think what happens is you have to go through these cycles and learn the hard way that that's not true. And honestly, Al, I think that's where we're headed. I don't think there's anything that Obama can do or will do, and he probably can't do, because the forces of the societal forces are too large, too big for any mere human being to have any ability to change them.
Roger?
Oh, I totally agree with that. Prechter's a psychologist. He graduated from Yale. I've read his books. And psychology in the marketplace is a driving force. There's no question about it. And in the early 70s, I can remember with the inflation that we had and the high interest rates later on with Jimmy Carter, and we're doing a rerun on the same things over and over. And people say, well, why don't we learn from history? Why do we keep making the same mistakes? And the answer is just what Jay said. The psychology reaction from people causes the same things to happen again because the psychology is the same.
I would maintain that the problem with the U.S. economy didn't start with former President George Bush. It didn't start with former President Bill Clinton. It didn't start with former President George Bush Sr. I would maintain that the problem started, as Jay said, right, you know, in 71 when Nixon took us off the gold standard. When your monetary system is accountable to nothing, okay, you can do whatever you want. And if you can do whatever you want for a time being, in the short run, you can have your cake and eat it too. But
yeah,
look what it's done to us, Jay.
Well, yeah, but I think it actually goes back further than that, Al. I think the reason Nixon took us off the gold standard is because there were pressures in society. Think back to the Vietnam War and how, you know, the sexual revolution, all kinds of things were taking place. We didn't want to hold on to the old institutions, to the conservative institutions. We wanted to enjoy our life. We wanted instant gratification. We wanted to have what we want when we want it and not have to pay for it. And, I mean, I think it transcends just monetary issues. I think it's the way we treat our fellow man. And socialism, after all, is trying to grab from what other people have for your own gratification, your own good, for your own personal good, rather than society. And we're thinking about ourselves. We turn inwardly. We don't give a damn about other people anymore. And so I think what happens is you go through these cycles. The thing comes tumbling down, and then you have to start caring about other people just for your own survival again.
I agree 100%. I mean, that's kind of the way that that all of us have run our businesses for a long, long time right now. Any comments on that one, Raj?
Well, I, Jay almost took the words out of my mouth. It does go back a little earlier. I think the breakdown of the breaking line was when Lyndon Johnson was elected president and came in with all that great society stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he wanted all the social welfare programs, and he wanted to fight a war in Vietnam at the same time. And that was the point at which there was a major departure from the United States paying its bills and not paying its bills and running up debts that it was acting irresponsibly about.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like Jay said, the social tenor of the United States in the 60s was a big change, a big departure from where it was in the 50s. One of the common things I always joke about is, do you remember the days of Ozzie and Harriet back in the 1950s when there were family values, when things were morally different than they were in the 60s. So it actually started, I think, in the early 60s, and as far as the economic part of it, when Johnson started to spend all that money and go nuts with all the different things they did, I think that's where we tipped over and started to slide down the hill.
But again, was it Johnson that did it, or was it society putting the pressures on Johnson? You know, there's a very interesting comment from Bertrand Russell. It says, if a man is offered a fact which goes against his instincts, he will scrutinize it closely, and unless the evidence is overwhelming, he will refuse to believe it. If, on the other hand, he is offered something which affords a reason for acting in accordance with his instincts, he will accept it even on the slightest evidence, end of quote. So I think that sums it up. We want to believe what we want to believe, and that's why you can take all the evidence. Look at Ian Gordon's work. People will scoff at it and say, oh, that can't be. $1,000, that cannot be. And the reason it cannot be is because we don't want it to be, mm-hmm. You know?
You know, the problem really, I think, that a lot of people don't realize is it's not President Obama. It's not the former presidents that I mentioned. Mm-hmm. Jay, I think you're 100% right. It's society. Changes have to be made. There has to be a certain amount of, and I'll use the word discipline. And what I mean by that is people have to act rationally. Irrational decisions cannot be rewarded as they are right now to a large extent in our quote-unquote capitalistic society. Human nature being what it is, however, people are selfish, and it's very, very difficult to change that. Let me ask you guys really quickly, about 15 seconds apiece, do you think we will ever change?
Yes, I think we change not voluntarily, but because our own actions require us to change. It brings a system.
I would agree with that one 1,000%. I would agree with that one 1,000,000%. Roger, final comments?
Well, our friend Peter Zillman in Zurich, I asked him the question, When do these people in America going to stop spending like a bunch of fools?
Yeah.
He said they will spend until there is no more credit and the credit is taken away and they can no longer spend anymore.
Yeah.
And that kind of coincides with what Jay just said in that they're going to get a kick in the face because they won't stop spending until there's no more credit. When the credit's gone, that's it.
That's it. And that's it for this segment. Thanks for thanks, Jay. Thanks, Roger. Appreciate it. Big Al's going to be right back.
A revolution in smoking is underway, a revolution all smokers of traditional cigarettes should know about. Keep listening for a special offer from PowerVapor.com. Standard tobacco cigarettes contain over 4,000 harmful chemicals. Now it's time to release yourself from the grip of big tobacco and experience true smoking freedom. PowerVapor.com is an e-cigarette with the look, feel, and smoke of a real cigarette, but with no tar, no carbon monoxide, and no bad odors. Power Vapor's e-cigarettes deliver just the right amount of nicotine in a water vapor that looks and feels like real smoke. Yes, you choose from 4 levels of nicotine, and that puts you back in control. Plus, you'll enjoy 8 flavors and big savings over traditional cigarettes. Get the facts and see our demonstration video at PowerVapor.com. That's PowerVapor.com. Log on to PowerVapor.com right now for a special 10% discount and 30-day money-back guarantee. PowerVapor.com, the smoking gun heard around the world.
If you like vitamins, say, I like vitamins.com. Vitamin lovers, it's your choice. Take pills and capsules with only about a 10 to 20% absorption rate, or take 10-in-1 liquid vitamin and mineral supplements at up to a 98% absorption rate. Yes, 10 formulas in one bottle. 10-in-1 liquid supplement is in your system in as little as 3 minutes. Just shake it and take it. Go to ilikevitamins.com now and see our amazing video. 10-in-1 is a multivitamin and mineral formula that supports vision, enhances immunity, reduces stress, helps your heart, memory and mood, energy, digestion, bones and joints, and has super antioxidant age-defying nutrients. All of that and saves money, too. 10-in-1 great-tasting liquid supplement is equal to taking up to 5 different products and comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee. Go to ilikevitamins.com. That's ilikevitamins.com. Or call 256-444-8000. 256-444-8000. 10-in-1, the world's greatest liquid vitamin and mineral supplement. Distributors wanted. Details at ilikevitamins.com.
We all need to prepare ourselves. You might have the food, water, gold, and silver, but ask yourself, are you truly prepared? That's why you need to visit MaineMilitary.com. MaineMilitary.com carries everything you need. Gas masks, wool blankets, fire starter kits, high-capacity magazines, chemical suits, military surplus items, and much more. Do you own a firearm? MaineMilitary.com has a large selection of pistols and rifles suited for your needs. Are your local stores sold out of ammunition? Call or visit them today for prices on hard-to-find ammo and bulk ammo orders. You don't need to worry about having a military surplus store in your area because MaineMilitary.com is the only store you'll ever need, all from the comfort of your computer. Visit them online today at MaineMilitary.com. That's Maine, like the state, military.com. Or call them at 1-877-608-0179. That's 1-877-608-0179.
Thomas Jefferson once said, "When the people fear their government, there is tyranny. When the government fears the people, there is liberty." Our God-given right to life and liberty and the right to determine what is best for our lives and our family's health are in jeopardy. If we the people do not diligently assert these rights, they may be taken away and lost forever. Utopia Silver is known for fighting for health freedom, and we will not meekly allow ourselves to be led as lambs to the slaughter. Sitting passively by and accepting the chains of slavery that are being placed on America is not an option. Please stand with Utopia Silver in this fight. Utopia Silver carries some of the most effective colloidal silver products on the market and numerous other high-quality health supplements. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's U-T-O-P-I-A, utopiasilver.com. Or call us today at 1-888-213-4338. 1-888-213-4338.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Okay, welcome back. You are listening to the weekend edition of the Cornell Economics Report. Here to wrap up the first hour of the program with a gentleman who I have not had as a guest before, and that is really my weakness, John Hathaway. John is a CFA. He is the Senior Managing Director of the Tocqueville Fund. He is a member of the Investment Committee at Tocqueville Asset Management. John probably knows more about the precious metals markets than virtually anybody in the world, and we appreciate him coming on the show. John, thanks for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Al.
Let's talk a little bit about the Tocqueville Fund first.
Okay. We started the fund in 1998, back when the idea of investing in gold was, I guess, radical in the sense that everybody was investing in dot-coms and telecoms and everything that blew up, and we just, being a contrarian value firm, thought that something as disrespected, even more disrespected than Rodney Dangerfield, would would not be a bad investment strategy in a market like that. So we launched it with about $10 million of seed capital. It was our money and some client money. And today that fund is approximately $1.1 billion.
Yeah. Not a bad track record. We have one thing one similarity in that I didn't catch on in the late 90s, pardon me, as you did. I was in such awe, utter awe at the stupidity that was going on in the financial markets that I literally couldn't believe what was going on. And about 3 years later, 2001 or thereabouts, when gold was trading around $254 an ounce, silver was something in the area of $3 an ounce, I decided to shift the entire focus of my radio show to what I call asset-based investing, really focusing on gold and silver, because the stupidity, John, that was taking place in the dot-com market was... You know, I may not be the brightest light bulb in the string, but I have to tell you, why would anybody invest in a company that had, you know, no earnings, really nothing other than a hope and a prayer, and bid the price of that stock up to over $100? It just didn't make any sense to me. So
it was really lunacy.
It was amazing. I was just absolutely amazed that people were actually falling for that. And, you know, a lot of our friends who do not share my philosophy lost anywhere from 50% to 75% of their retirement funds because of that, and they're still not back to even yet.
No, that's a shame, but that's what manias are all about.
That's what manias are all about. Well, now, when you say you switched into gold, talk to me a little bit about that. Are we talking about investing in the asset itself? Are we talking about the securities related? What exactly are we talking about here?
We have both. The fund owns about 100,000 ounces of physical metal.
Mm-hmm.
which is stored with a custodian that has no bank connections here in the United States. And the rest of the fund, or about 91% of the balance, is invested in mining shares, ranging from the very large cap names that most people would know about to some fairly small ones.
What are the criteria, John, that you look at when you're evaluating some of the mining stocks?
Well, the first thing we do is we interview management. We have a steady flow of management teams coming through our offices in New York. I think we had two or three today, and I sit in on a number of them. But we also have a very good research group, four other guys, that one of whom's a geologist. And so in addition to management, we scrutinize the assets. All the members of our group have been on numerous mine trips all over the world.
Sure.
So that's kind of it's a very disciplined due diligence process.
We get involved in that ourselves also. We have, our business is really a little family business where Dad does the radio and Mom and number two daughter basically go on site visits along with myself and we shoot videos on behalf of companies. And it's, I have to tell you, I think the mining industry is probably one of the most fascinating industries in the world, and I don't think you can find, at least I haven't found, a better example of pure raw capitalism in any other industry. That the people are interesting. It really, really is a challenging, but at the same time, potentially gratifying place to make a living.
Right. No, I agree. The people are really interesting. It's a business that can go from being very tough because of high costs, and obviously we went through a period where the gold price is very low, to a time like we're in now where the gold price is, it's not as high as it's going to get, but it's at a level that produces pretty good earnings and cash flow.
Oh, yeah, there are some very, very fundamentally sound, profitable little mining companies out there. I found over the years, and I've been doing this now for on my own for close to 30 years, and if you count everything, over 30 years that I've been involved in one way, shape, or form in the industry. And it's amazing to me, John, how the character of the mining industry has changed in the last 30 years. You know, what went from at one time being a you know, kind of a scary market full of, you know, stock promoters and people who really didn't know anything about the mining industry, to today. It's just amazing how sophisticated, I would say probably 85 to 90% of the players are. It's just mind-boggling. Primarily PhD geologists or professional engineers or what have you. People like yourself who hold degrees, you know, various college degrees and designations like being a chartered financial analyst or what have you. I mean, it's evolved into a very, very sophisticated industry, and I'm very proud to be a part of it.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, it used to be a bunch of cowboys going around with arm waving tactics to say how big their deposit was, and now I think the standards for reporting are, I guess, in light of some of the scandals that we all know all too well. You know, the standards are pretty high, and so I think investors should have a fair amount of confidence in the published reports that the industry puts out.
Oh, particularly with the new regulations, specifically National Instrument 43-101 up in Canada. I mean, under penalty of law, I mean, what you say has to be what you actually have. And now that more and more of the companies are getting registered down here in the United States with the Securities and Exchange Commission, there are some really, really good sources of information out there. I'd like to switch the subject just a little bit, and I want to talk a little bit about your feelings, John, as to what we're going to see in the precious metals markets using a horizon of, let's say, 12 months.
Okay, I think the gold price will maintain four digits. It'll do some backing and filling as it's done recently, but that's basically necessary to solidify the base.
Of course.
And I would not be surprised to see a price level hundreds of dollars higher than we are today. And certainly in 2 or 3 years, I would not be surprised to see the price more than double what it is here. And the reason is strictly it's bad politicians on both sides of the aisle, and it's going to take another political revolution a la 1980 to make anything change.
When you talk about the political revolution in 1980, specifically, John, what are you talking about?
The Reagan landslide, and then Volcker was a tough central banker who drove real interest rates up to levels that made it unattractive to hold gold.
Mm-hmm. You know, I've written a number of articles that were published on Kitco, and the articles all centered around one premise, and that premise, from my standpoint, was that we're really in a perfect storm for gold. I have never seen an environment as conducive as we have today to appreciation in the price of gold and silver. It's mind-boggling to me how strong a market or how strong the inputs are right now.
And it's interesting that as topical as gold has become, and certainly it does get a lot more press than when we first started the fund, people talk about it, but they haven't acted on it. And I spoke with a seasoned market observer recently who said he's never seen a group that has been so strong for so long that was so under-owned.
Talking about precious metals.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I think that I would say up to 10 or 12 years, if this country stays together financially, and I have some questions about that. I'm not, you know, we have a lot of friends in common who are a little bit more adamant than I am about the direction that our country is heading in a negative sense. But I think that if the United States continues to improve slightly, both politically and financially, I think that we're going to have one heck of a precious metals market for the foreseeable future. Phil, always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you, Al.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
It's no secret that Genesis Communications Network depends on listeners like you. Now you can do even more to hear Genesis shows in your area. Simply call your local radio stations and tell them about your favorite GCN programs. It's easy. Log on to GCNlive.com or call us toll free, 877-807-4048. Make a difference. Call your local stations and contact us through affiliate relations at GCNlive.com or call 877-807-4048. Call today.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.